Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Chance, and my guest today is Vanessa Fox. And I have to read this word for word. I don't usually do this, but I love this. This is right off of her website. Vanessa spends her time writing, speaking, and training companies on how to use key pieces of data to better drive product strategy and customer engagement online. That is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
Previously worked at Google, built Webmaster Central, which I'm huge fan of, send people there all the time, as well as, and this will be a little technical for the geeks out there, very instrumental in the sitemaps.org alliance, which, just trust me, made your life better when it came to getting your sites crawled. So, Vanessa, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, she is also the author, fairly new book out, called Marketing in the Age of Google. Your online strategy is your business strategy, and I guess she's one of those ex-Googlers that gets to put that in the title of her books, I guess. Don't you have to sign something for that?
I did not. No one said anything to me yet.
No, I think, well, you know, at some point in time, they're going to lose the trademark on the word, right? Because it's becoming a generic, like, verb.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. And when I worked there, they did a blog post about, you know, that they want you to search for things and not to Google for things.
Right.
And they did it a little in a mocking tone, but yeah. You could tell that it was because, you know, the lawyers were like, well, in order to keep the trademark, we're required to publicly state that this is what we want you to do.
Right. Yeah. Can't show up in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. So yeah, who knows what's going to happen with that? I mean, on the one hand, of course, it's not such a bad thing to become a verb. And even if it does mean you lose your trademark.
Yeah, well, the I'm not sure if I'd say this is a promise, but one of the kind of subheads on the book or premises of the book is, search has changed everything. It's become woven into everyday lives and permeates offline as well as online activities. That's a pretty big statement. So
I know.
I wonder if you could make sense of that for us. What does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, it is, like you say, kind of a big statement, but I think it's absolutely the case. I spend a lot of time these days looking at searcher behavior and looking at the ways that we consume information and interact with information. And search has really just become woven into everything that we do to the extent that we don't even think about it. I mean, the example that I like to use a lot is, like, when I was in high school back in 1988, right, we didn't have search engines. And so if you were out at a bar, not that I was out at bars in high school, but, you know, if you're out with your friends or whatever and you're thinking, oh, you know, who is the actor that was in that movie? Oh, I don't know. And you kind of talk about it for a while. Well, now we don't even think about it. We just automatically pull out a phone and do a search, right, and see who it is.
It just drives my wife crazy.
Yeah, you know? But, I mean, it's just...
She can't ask a question. I go, I don't know. Here's the answer.
Well, right. But that's how we all are now, because we just know that this information is just right there. And so search has just become this thing that we do all the time, and it wasn't always the case, but it's crept in so ubiquitously that we just don't even think about it. And so if you think about how that just starts to touch everything that we do, and you can see this really easily with things such as offline advertising. This year and last year, you know, I did this analysis of the Super Bowl commercials, and it's amazing how much a commercial causes people to search for the tagline or for the brand. Mm-hmm. And so certainly it might cause people to go to the website, or it might cause them to, you know, have more, you know, positive brand perception, or, you know, all those other things that, you know, actually buy the product. But it also really causes people to search. And you see it with everything. You see, you know, a movie comes out, a show, and you can see the search spikes for things related to that. So,
or you know, a natural disaster somewhere.
Oh yeah.
I don't really know where that is on the planet, and boy, spike like crazy, doesn't it?
So I do think that it's really changed a lot of how we think about information, how we interact with companies, how we think about how we buy things, how, you know, all of those things, and it you know, just permeates everything now. And there's so much certainly opportunity for engagement, but a big part of what I talk about in the book is just that there's also so much opportunity to learn more about your customers, because with all this data that's available, we just have access to so much more about our customers than we did before.
Yeah, and I want to get into some of the various, you know, pieces of, you know, how you find that data, how you make sense of it. But let me ask you this first. I think last year, social media sort of grabbed all the headlines. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're kind of talking about here is, hey, it's really always been sort of interwoven into search anyway.
Yeah.
And I do feel there's a big bit of a pullback of saying, hey, you know what? All this stuff's not like this new, you know, thing over here. It's all just become the umbrella approach. So mm-hmm. how would you characterize the relationship right now between search and social?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing to ask because I do think that this is on people's minds right now. And a big thing that people ask me is, well, what should we spend the time on, search or social media? And, of course, that's really the wrong thing to ask. I think the question really is, where are your customers? How can you get the most insight about them? And how can you engage with them the best? Normally, that means both. And it's actually very easy to integrate both of those things. And I think the thing to really think about before you get started is not just, oh, social media is the next big thing. We should, you know, go do that. Is like, what are your business goals? And how can you achieve those business goals through search and social media? And with search, it's pretty readily apparent that no matter what kind of business you're in, people search. So that's almost always a great place to be. And for social media, it's going to vary a lot more, and it's, of course, going to vary a lot more in terms of the specific types of social media that you might do based on the industry. But that's really the place to get started. And you know, I talk a little bit in the book about some of the ways you can leverage social media for search and, you know, really use them hand in hand for better reach of your customers.
Well, you know, I used to talk about how your search results, I guess I should say, for a business and social media were really, I think I used to say, in a long-term relationship. And I think they've gotten married, right? I mean, you can't separate the two, can you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the very least, you know, if someone is talking about you online, whether or not you're involved in social media yourself, and, you know, your customers are talking about you online, with search being in the mix, it just amplifies that conversation. So it's not just the people having the conversation, but anyone who does a search for, you know, your brand or your industry later is going to see that social media stuff in the search results. So it just becomes that much more important to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's a great place to claim real estate is what I tell people right now,
right,
at least.
Absolutely.
Now, here's a challenge that I see a lot of organizations have. Mm-hmm. If we are to believe what you're saying, and so far you haven't given us any reason to doubt that it's true, but the idea of integrating your search strategy into all aspects of your business, the challenge that I see people having is, well, search is those people over here in this room, in this department, maybe they're even a sub-department of marketing.
Right.
You know, how do organizations deal with this whole aspect that it is the people that maybe know everything about search that they need aren't in the same meetings as the people doing strategy?
And that's really one of the big problems, I think, and that's something that I talk a lot about in the book, is that search shouldn't be siloed. And it shouldn't only not be siloed for business strategy, but it also shouldn't be siloed away from development, because a lot of what the developers do can be really important for search as well. I mean, I think for each organization it's different, and it depends on the size, and it depends on kind of what you're doing. But if you think about the fact that your customers are your customers, no matter whether they're coming from search or whether they're doing something else, and so there's all of this vast information that's available about them that all these different areas, whether it's market research or product management, product development, or overall business strategy, or, you know, acquisition, all these different areas could really benefit from having all of this search information sort of at the beginning, as well as kind of all the data about what people actually do once they do a search and end up on your site. So thinking about ways to think of that more holistically instead of just, oh, this is the SEO department over here, and what they do is they try to rank pages. I mean, that's a very short-sighted view of how search can be woven into a business.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the idea of data and metrics that maybe you could actually do something with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a challenge people have too. I mean, even if they just, the Analytics 101 is you put Google Analytics on your site, and then you go and you say, oh, look how many people came to our site, and look what words they're searching.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you dig in and make that for the typical business, or maybe even, you know, the C-suite people that maybe you're trying to talk to? I mean, how do you make that stuff make some sense to them?
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial.
So I think you really have to start with your business goals. And it's amazing the number of companies that I talk to that don't really have those solidified the way that you would expect.
Right.
And so that's really where everything starts is what are your business goals? And when I go in and talk to people, a lot of times they'll tell me that their business goals are to not spend a lot of engineering resources, or their you know, business goals are to get a lot of people to their website. And, you know, those types of things may be fine things to do, but they're not your business goals, right? So, like, you have some kind of a reason that you started the company, something that, you know, is really what the business is all about. And so really identifying that and then figuring out, okay, well, who are the key audiences that you're trying to attract? And so you kind of start there, and then you really start to think about who those audiences are. And what those two things help you do then is to take a look at all of the search volume that's out there using, you know, any number of tools that are out there. I actually have a page on my website. If you go to marketinginthageofgoogle.com, you can find a list of, like, all the tools that are available to get all those kinds of data. But basically, you get all the data, and then you can cluster it to see what are people searching for. But it's not enough to just say, oh, these have high search volumes or these have low on competition. You really then have to bring it back to, okay, so based on my, you know, my business goal and based on these audience needs, these are really the searches that tie in best with that audience. And this is what, now I know exactly what they're looking for. Now I know exactly what their needs are. So we need to make sure that what, you know, we build matches their needs. And then going back to the business goal again, then you can really think, okay, now that we've met their need, how can we get them to do what we want? And so you can really tie that whole flow into one kind of integrated strategy.
Okay,
that's how I would start with the searcher data.
Okay, well, so I'm gonna make a statement that I make all the time, and it's typically to small businesses. Remember that I'm making this statement, but I have a hard time suggesting somebody that's starting a website as a small business not just go ahead and use WordPress software to run their entire site.
You totally should.
Okay, so you don't have any issues with that. You agree with that strategy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially when small businesses. I mean, there's so much more that you can do with it than just a blog. My site, that's how my site is based, and we're in the middle of redoing it, and we're adding a bunch of functionality, but we're still doing it all in WordPress.
Yeah, because you can do all the pages, and then you just start getting crazy with some plugins. I mean,
you can do all kinds of stuff, and it's so well supported. Yeah, last week I spoke at WordCamp, which is, you know, Automatic's big yearly conference, and I think that they do great stuff over there.
Okay, so there you heard it. People get tired of me saying it. Now we've got somebody who knows exactly how Google crawls your sites and knows that they favor blogs, right?
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, I've been saying it for a long time. Anecdotally, it appears to me that that search engines favor content that's being written on blogs. But
so, if you want, we can take a little bit of a detour and talk about that for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, so I think that Google does like blogs, but maybe not because it's a blog. I think that the search engines, especially in Google, try to do as much as they can to figure out searcher intent, because they're only getting a couple of words in the query, and there's only so much that, you know, is in that. And so they want to provide the most relevant results possible, so they use, you know, all kinds of signals to figure out intent. But a certain percentage of queries certainly have intent that's topical, right? So it's information that's newer versus, you know, just evergreen stuff that could be. So certainly the fact that it's a blog maybe, and, you know, it's a newish post is one signal to the search engines that, hey, someone's doing a query that is of something that's in the news now, and this obviously is some new information. And so there's some correlation, right, between those things. So there's that. The other great thing about a blog, if it's not, again, blog specific, it would be the same, you know, if you built a page or, you know, something in WordPress, is that it's clean, right? It's not, it probably doesn't have a bunch of Ajax on it. It probably isn't Flash. It's probably just a bunch of text on a page that was linked to probably from the homepage in an easily browsable structure. It has a URL that makes sense. It has a title that makes sense. It has a heading So it has all of these elements on a page that can be really easy for search engines to parse.
And then
doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's a blog.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, what I always tell people is, look, search engines like content that is educational in nature, is frequently updated, is easy to crawl, and has good, clean HTML code. Well, that just happens to be a blog.
Exactly.
So I think that's really it. So in the time that we have left, what would be a couple pieces of advice that you would say? I'm going to give you two organizations, a small organization, you know, where would you, that maybe isn't, you know, maybe it's trying to get their pages to rank well, but really hasn't looked at this strategic approach at all. You know, what would be a couple things for them to get started? Mm-hmm. And then how about this large organization that you know, maybe has a department. They've been cranking away at this, you know, search engine marketing, search engine optimization. You know, what should they do to make this more relevant?
Yeah, so I think for both types of organizations or both, you know, types of people, it can make a lot of sense to take a step, you know, back to see what are you really trying to accomplish.
Yep.
You know, kind of going back to the who are you really trying to attract and what are you trying to do with those people once you get them there. Because
yep.
particularly for the second type of organization that you describe, it can be very easy to get a whole machine in place around search engine optimization.
Right.
And then you start to focus on ranking factors or getting pages ranking, and you can easily lose sight of the goal of, you know, what you're actually trying to accomplish. I mean, I talked to lots of people who've been in the business for a really long time, and they're like, oh, the traffic is way, way up. And I'm like, but what kind of traffic? Like,
yeah.
What is it? And what's happening with those visitors once they get to your website? So particularly for a larger organization, I would say really step up and look at things at a higher level, make sure that the metrics that you're looking at are, you know, really the most actionable and useful. For a small organization, I mean, I think the big thing to think about is that you don't have to get caught up in all of these algorithmic ranking factors.
Yeah.
I talk to these small businesses. They don't know a lot about search. They go out and they look on the internet, and like, there's all this crazy speculation out there. There's all this stuff. And I get these questions, you know, how many words should the title be, and how, you know, what about the length of a meta, you know, description,
yes,
and how many
right.
links should I have going out of my site? And, you know, I would say don't worry about any of that stuff. I mean, that's not the stuff that you should be focusing on. You should really, you do, of course, need to think about, can search engines access my pages, which, like you say, if you're using something like,
mm-hmm.
you know, WordPress, that's going to be done for you out of the box. And just make sure that you're building compelling content. One of the big things that people overlook, which is so easy, is the title and the heading.
Yep.
You know, the title of your page is really important, not just for search engines to know what the page is about, which it's a very strong signal for that, but it's what shows up on the search results page. And so,
yeah,
nobody searches
welcome to my site.
Well, right. So not only does no one search for that, but if that's what's in the title of
right.
the search results, then even if you rank well for what you want, people
right.
are going to skip right over that because they're not going to know what that means.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite searches, do it sometime, skip this intro. And you'll pull
Mine
up
click here.
You'll pull up every flash site that was ever created.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But yeah, so I mean, if you think about that, every single page of your site is the homepage of your site because of search.
Yeah.
You know, people may not come to your homepage.
Right.
Make sure that the heading actually makes sense
yeah.
and actually says what your site's about, because it's really easy to say something like what we offer or, you know, products. But it doesn't actually say what that means, what we
mm-hmm.
offer, right? That doesn't
right.
actually
right.
have anything about the topic of your site.
Yeah,
so,
you know, particularly for local businesses that are not in these highly hyper-competitive environments, it's really pretty easy to rank well with just a little common
sure.
sense, isn't it?
Sure.
So,
I did a blog post maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about local business, where I talked just about, like, the really easy things that you can do, right? Because it's the case that, what is it like, twice as many people search for local, you know, business online
mm-hmm.
than local businesses actually have websites online.
Mm.
You know, they just assume everyone's going to still use the yellow pages, but mostly people just do a search.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, my kids are in their 20s. I don't think they know how to use the yellow pages.
Yeah.
So where can, you've mentioned referenced blog posts a couple times. Is that at 9byblue.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 9, all spelled out, 9byblue.com. And you also do write for Search Engine Land still, is that right?
Yep, I'm an editor over at Search Engine Land.
Great. Another great site. And obviously the book, Marketing in the Age of Google, Your Online Strategy is Your Business Strategy by Vanessa Fox, can be purchased pretty much anywhere you buy books. And you have a site for the book as well, right?
Yeah, marketinginthageofgoogle.com, yeah.
Well, that was a mouthful to buy as a domain name, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Vanessa, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you.
We could probably dive into every single thing we touched on today, as a very specific podcast all by itself. But go out and get the book and start making search the important piece of your business strategy.
That's right.
All right. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.